from a passage in the epistles to the Ephesians. Chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. Let me read this first from the ESV version, and then Xifao will read to us in Chinese. This is the word of the Lord. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. For above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come, that he has put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
In
fact, I just came back from Hong Kong and China. Actually, my jet lag adjusted back to, I think, adjusted normal now. When I first came back, I went to bed at 8 p.m. I woke up at 2 in the morning, 2 a.m. in the morning. So yesterday is more normal. The day before is rather normal. I went to bed at 9:30. And I woke up at 6:30. While I was in China, I was invited to preach. Of course, not in not in English, in Chinese. No, Chinese. No. Yeah, it was the first time it's the first time I preached in China before policemen. Yeah, because they visit the church every Sunday now. The good thing is that they invite different, I think different policemen show up on Sunday at these churches.
But I think that
meaning that they can take turn to listen to the gospel message. And so when I go and do this, I was kind of nervous. Naturally nervous. Because I have to use Mandarin. Because I have to use Mandarin to preach. And then there's someone listening to me. He gave me no. There was like maybe 100 people there, 100 and few people there, and the police just didn't give me any trouble. Nor did he talk to me. Because I look absolutely like a Chinese. Yeah, but there was some experience with this. In face of this kind of situation, what would you do? How would you pray? That's the key. I think we often see problems like that, and in different situations, we often think about what to pray. Naturally, when we pray for something that is problematic to us or painful to us. Yeah, but when you look at the prayer today, it's kind of special. Paul did not pray like that. It's not that the church in Ephesus did not have problems. Because if you read the book of Revelation, you know that Jesus complained about the church of Ephesus. Revelation. Yeah, but however, if you go to the passage today, you will see that Paul did not actually talk about any problem of the Ephesians. It could be that these problems are not the focus at this time. Or maybe from Paul's perspective, there is something more important than problems. And so Paul pray about those things. I think we need to learn from this prayer. Because sometimes when we pray, we don't know how to say something. And sometimes in our prayer, we are controlled by our problems. We cannot look beyond our problems to pray. And so the book of Ephesians is very important for us to help us. If you know the book of Ephesians, actually the first chapter have two very long sentences. From verse 3 to 14 is one sentence in Greek. But there are 202 words in it. You talk about what God has planned for us from before the time begins.
He is
And because of that, we know the blessings of spiritual blessings in Christ. Now and then, when Paul moved to verse 15 to 23, Paul prayed for the Ephesians. And verse 15 to 23 is also one long sentence. And then there are 169 words in it. And then you continue to see that Paul prayed for, how Paul prayed for the Ephesians. And I think there are three different things we can learn from this prayer. Basically, Paul prayed for the Ephesians for only one thing. But then he keep on expanding that so that we know more about this one thing we need to pray about. The question is, what that one thing that's so important that Paul prayed for the Ephesians? And the answer is in verse 17 and 18. In there, Paul talk about how 17 and 18. That God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Now we all that who all those people who believe in Jesus will have this Holy Spirit. We can say all those who are in Christ are baptized in the Holy Spirit. But here, Paul continued to pray that they may have the Holy Spirit. The question is why? And the reason you get is in why did Paul pray for them about a Holy Spirit of knowledge and wisdom, revelation and wisdom? The key thing is we need to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 6 to 16 to understand this. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 to 16. Now this long passage unpacks what Paul has said about the Holy Spirit. And in summary, this passage talks about that without Spirit, there's something no one can know. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have. It doesn't matter where you come from. There is something we human being cannot know without the Spirit. Now, let me read this in English, and maybe Shi Bao can also read afterwards. Yeah. Verse 6, yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age, or the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed from before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truth to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
This time when I went to Hong Kong, I was instructed by two women to see an optometrist. One is my mom, another one is my wife. Yeah, because they saw that I'm using some reading glass from dollar store. You know the problem of the reading glass in the dollar store? It's absolutely cheap, $1. But the thing is, if I put on a reading glass, I can only either read, I can only read what is in front of me. Further out there is all blur, is very blurry. So my these women in my life instruct me to see an optometrist in Hong Kong. And ask me to get some glasses from Hong Kong. And I pay almost $3,000 for it.
我付了3000块港币。
3000港币，我还以为3000美元呢。So a few hundred US dollars for this. Yeah, so it's very expensive if you want to see something nicely, either very further off and something close to us. Because I'm instructed by these two ladies in my life, I don't ask questions further whether I should buy it here or not. But I think I can see much better now. It's just nice. This is what the Spirit done for us. The Holy Spirit let us see and know things. The thing is, you cannot even pay for it. And God did not give this Holy Spirit to everybody. And He only gave it to the believers. And since Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 2,
保罗写了《哥林多前书》的第二章。
He know how important it is for the Holy Spirit to work in our life.
他也知道圣灵在我们心中有多么的重要。 So
he prayed for the Holy Spirit so that they can know wisdom and they can know knowledge and they can know revelation.
那么他就求神赐下圣灵，让我们知道神的啊认识。When
we pray for our problem, we pray for something right in front of us, something immediate.
当我们为我们自己的问题来祷告的时候，那些东西就在我们面前，而且是马上就能够得到满足的。But
Paul asks us to pray for something bigger.
但是保罗呢，要我们祷告，要为更大的事祷告。Because
we need that to live and survive.
因为我们要靠那个生活和生存。The
second question is if Paul pray that the Holy Spirit will be given to the Ephesians.
保罗向神求把圣灵赐给以弗所人。What
did Paul pray so that the Spirit will give them?
那保罗是怎么祷告呢？神就会把圣灵赐给他们。Paul
pray for three things.
保罗向神求了三件事。
In verse 18 to 19. Now 18 is there are three things Paul asked that they would know. Now when Paul said verse 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe?
18节到19节，并且告诉你们心中的眼睛，使你们知道他的恩招，他的恩招有何等厚，他在圣灵中得的基业有何等丰盛的。
There are three things here that are very important for us. First thing, our hope. Second, our status. Third thing, our power. Hope, status and power.
希望地位和能力。
You know, if you lost your hope, you may even kill yourself.
你知道，如果你对任何东西都失去希望，你可能自杀。
And if we put our hope on the wrong thing, we may be disappointed.
如果我们把我们希望寄托在一个错误的东西上面，那我们就可能会失望。
So Paul here prayed that these Ephesians will know the hope of their calling.
那保罗呢，在现在神祷告呢，求让这些以弗所的人呢知道他们的希望，他们的指望。
To understand that, you need to go all the way back to verse 3 to 14 to understand what this hope contains. The key thing is that Paul talked about our hopes in Jesus. We'll be encouraged by Jesus. We'll have hope in Jesus. But we will not find hopes in things. Because Jesus is Lord already, we'll find our hope in Him. Second thing, we need to understand our status. What is our status? If you do not do so well at the work, you may be ostracized. If you do not do well in school, you may jeopardize your future. But those things are possible. How can we know who we are and our status? And so Paul talk about what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now what he talk about here is actually something in the Old Testament.
这里呢,
this is not, Paul is actually not talking about how people possess something from God.
保罗这里并不是说人呢,
the Chinese translation did translate like that.
中文的翻译呢,
but the English or the I think the Greek already a little bit different is in the opposite way. Is that we are possession of God.
英文的翻译稍微好一点，就是实际上我们实际上的意思就是我们拥有了主，我们拥有上帝。
That means we are now belong to God.
就是说我们现在属于。
We are cherished by God. We are His people. But God's people was dispersed before. And now we are His people restored in Jesus. To understand this is important because there are people around us, we think they cherish us. And sometimes we are disappointed by these people. These include our bosses. Our boyfriends, our girlfriends, our spouses, ourselves even. But this glorious inheritance in Jesus is that we are possessed by God and He will not give us up. Before Him, we are His glorious inheritance. This should define how we look at what we do. Now, as you continue to look, go to number verse 19, you will see that the third thing we need is that we need to know the power we have in Jesus. Power is a consistent problem in our life. When we are dealing with young kids, little kids, we sometimes feel like we lost control over them. We have no power over them. When they grow up, it won't get better. Because they are called teenagers then. You go to school, you don't have a total control of where you can go. You can hardly go to the schools you love to be at. The choice of love also would be very challenging. You may love someone, that someone may not love you back. And you have no control for it. When you go out to work, it's also the same thing. You have no control over everything. So what kind of power do we have in handling the troubles within our life? But here in verse 19, Paul talks about this power. It's huge. It's a big power. What kind of power is that? From verse 20 to 22, Paul expands that power and explains to what that power is all about. Okay. Verse 20. That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named it, not only in this age but also in the age to come, in the one to come. And he puts all things under his feet and gave him as head over the all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We took it for granted about this power. Like resurrection. We heard it many times. But Paul actually explained what power that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 55 to 57.
15:55-57.
What kind of power will raise Jesus from the dead? What is that to do with us? It is that we will also experience that power in our life. So we are not controlled by sin anymore.
So
What other powers do we experience in this life? Verse 21 talks about this power. Now, Jesus is now seated with God at God's right hand in heavenly places, so far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. It sounds like Paul is talking about some political power or power on earth. But here, actually, Paul is more focusing on the power in the heavenly places, spiritual power. Politics may irritate us quite a bit. Yeah, if you read too much of Facebook, you may get depressed. But Paul is talking about something even more powerful than that, spiritual powers. It is more powerful because sometimes we are not aware of how it works. And sometimes we cannot even see how it affects us. But Paul here reminds us that if we are raised with Jesus, if we are seated with Jesus in heavenly places, we rule with Him now. We don't rule with Jesus over this earth in the future. It is already true now. Why? Number three, the third power. Because God subjected everything under Christ. What is everything? That means our sadness, our sickness, our happiness, death and life, everything that's happening around us. Without exception, everything is under His feet. And there's nothing that can go beyond on Jesus. If you think about the universe, the biggest galaxy out there, to the biggest stars in our galaxy, and to the tiniest, smallest particles we know in physics, everything is under Jesus' feet. He's in control of all those things. And we're just a tiny bit in this whole spectrum. However, the last thing, I mean, what kind of power we have? But God put everything under Jesus, right? And the amazing thing is verse 22 and 23. God gave Jesus as head over all things to the church. Everything is given to us for us to manage. Nothing can actually go outside the purview of Jesus. And the power is great. There are things in this world that has been over 3,000 years. We are sometimes afraid of things that is not even 70 years. But the most important thing is that God holds every power that controls everything in history. There is something that we have that is unstoppable in history. Acts chapter 28:31. In the last verse of the whole book of Acts. Well, we can read from verse 30 to 31, some 30. Luke wrote this. He lived there, that means Paul, lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. We have a feeling when we live in this world that we are often hindered by lots of things around us. We are lack of freedom. I cannot even speak English better than my son, who is only like 19 years old. It's kind of strange. I've been here in this country for 31 years. So we don't have power over that. But these verses talk about there is a message that is unstoppable. Paul can preach that without hindrance. The proclamation of the kingdom. I would say not only the proclamation of the kingdom, but everything that attached to the proclamation of the kingdom. As we live according to that message, we can face the world. We can face a lot of things. So may the Lord bless us with this message here. May we learn to pray for each other with this prayer. We are way too distracted by what's going on around us. But there's something more powerful here in the Word of God for us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. Because we have seen the power of the Spirit We see the hope of what you have done for us. We have seen the power they have shown in the resurrection of Jesus. And how much it affects us. Father, teach us. Forgive us when we focus too much on ourselves and our problems. Teach us so that we may know you and know Jesus in order that we may be able to handle everything. Handle everything not for ourselves but for your glory only. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.